Hi, and welcome to the Arizona State Sports and Entertainment Law Journal's podcast. Today's guest is Oliver Butler. Oliver directed the Tony-nominated Broadway play What the Constitution Means to Me, written by Heidi Schreck. Oliver's also the co-artistic director of the Debate Society, which is a Brooklyn-based ensemble playmaking group in New York City. Oliver, thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me. I'm so glad to talk to you.
Yeah, very exciting subject matter today. So can you just tell us a little bit, you know, about yourself, about how you came to this play, and eventually we'll get into your meeting in the chambers with Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
That's right.
But it was a phenomenal play. I got to see it when I was back in New York, and it blew me away, and just kind of wanted to talk about your experience and coming to it, and kind of how your perception of the law, the legal field, the Constitution, or even, you know, the United States, kind of how that was impacted, affected, or changed, or anything along those lines. So please,
sure.
I guess we can start at the beginning. How did this come across your desk?
Beautiful. And I'll try and hit all the things that you said, but you may just have to ask some of those questions again.
Oh, absolutely.
As we give it. So, Heidi Schreck, who's the star on the show, the creator of the piece, we had known each other for years in the downtown theater. I had seen her work. She'd seen my work with the Debate Society. And we went to the Women's March in the same bus in early 2017, nearly exactly 4 years ago. And we sat next to each other on the bus for part of the trip, and we talked. And about a month later, she came to me and told me about this project that she'd been working on and that she wanted someone to help her sort of work on it and collaborate and finish the play. And that was for, doing its first live production at Club Thumb Theater for 70 people and 10 performances. And, Heidi told me the very simple story of the show, which is that she put herself through college giving speeches on the Constitution at American Legion halls, and she has started recreating those speeches to see what her teenage self loved so much about the Constitution, and in the process told the story of four generations of women in her family, starting with her great-great-grandmother, who came here as a mail-order bride, and how each of them and their rights was impacted by the Constitution through time, and also to figure out how she became the first woman on one side of her family to grow up in a home free from domestic violence. And so I loved this. She told me the story of what she was working on. She had a lot of her story written, but it wasn't formatted and structured into the exact play that we ended up with. She had this instinct that she wanted to work with someone like a young person who would be her age, the same age that she was when she did the contest. So she had sort of an instinct towards some structural ideas, like in casting ideas, but we didn't know exactly what that would be. And I was psyched that she came to me. I think she came to me partially because I'd worked with actor creators in the past with my theater company, and also my mother is an actor. My mother was actress Pamela Peyton Wright. So I grew up backstage, and I grew up sort of around the theater, and I think that probably had some impact in her thinking about working with me, like knowing that we actually both have moms who had worked as actors and been in the industry. So we started working on it, and go ahead.
No, that's fascinating. I actually didn't know that. So
yeah.
At this kind of early stage, and you know, you mentioned that, you know, Heidi has a lot of kind of experience kind of thinking about these kind of things that the play addresses. When you started reading it and working on it, what was your experience like? What was your research like connected to the United States Constitution, and how were those discussions like in the room?
Yeah, so we sort of set the thing up. Our process ended up being a little bit of a sort of playful competition as well. We tried to sort of create rules within our developmental meetings where we would actually get together, we would pick an amendment out of the hat, and then we would spend 10 or 20 minutes researching an amendment, and then we would do like a 5-minute presentation for each other. So there was sort of this this sort of do-it-yourself, like sit down and collaborate and play sort of atmosphere to our work, especially in the beginning. You know, we had an idea that Heidi, you know, was going to stay focused on the 14th Amendment and the 9th Amendment. But she, you know, we wanted to also infuse the piece with like a spirit of sort of sport and sort of a little bit of the chaos of competition.
Sure.
So, you know, like we were, and listen, I have no legal experience. I'm interested in interesting stories, and I became more and more interested in just like what rights are and sort of like the details of our history from a civic point of view. Like, you know, and I think we approached it like sort of citizen activists and said, we have every right to read these documents, to, you know, listen. We listen to a lot of Supreme Court, you know, litigation on ABA.org. And, you know, we sort of just immersed ourselves in the world and started having some of our own opinions. And, of course, it's, like, infinitely complex. So every person you talk to has, you know, different opinions on how these, you know, how the whole thing works and what it means. And I feel like the process of working on it, I guess I realized that even though I do believe that there are brilliant people who have, for instance, sat on the Supreme Court, that when you listen to a lot of the argument, it's not beyond the average person understanding. And I feel like I left the process feeling like we all deserve to have an opinion on this. And even the really, really sort of like great legal minds tend to approach the whole thing from this idea of just how complex and in some ways I don't know if unknowable is the right word, but it is, there is no clean cut answer to these legal questions around rights. And that it actually requires you and every one of us like having an opinion and talking about it to keep it alive and give it meaning. So I think that like that spirit of debate and conversation sort of carried us through the entire process with a very literal debate, which is a portion of the play, and also the creation of the whole piece centered around us constantly sort of questioning everything that was in the show and adapting it as time moved on.
That's fascinating too. And I think really, really empowering to be able to say, look, you know, these are documents that require you know, civic dialogue. They require sitting in a room and discussing ideas, and we are kind of the masters of our own fate about how we take these ideas and craft them into, be it legislation or be it, you know, you know, an argument before the Supreme Court. So that's,
yeah,
that, and so I know that, you know, we spoke earlier about, you know, kind of how coming out of this play and having worked on it, you started, kind of getting more engaged in this kind of civic dialogue and kind of activism. Can you talk a little bit more about how this kind of like jump started that?
Yeah. So, I have, I think that as an artist, or just in maybe just the way my whole life has been, I've always felt a little bit, sort of like I've had to live like multiple lives at the same time. I'm an artist, but I worked as a carpenter for years. I was constantly like doing this like hard physical labor to make money and then doing this artistic work as like my passion work, which is not like an uncommon thing for artists or anyone. I mean, there are a lot of people with like multiple jobs who have to like be all of these different people at once. And I feel like I've spent most of my life trying to sort of separate those things and not be like the carpenter in the sort of theater world and not bring my artistic work to the carpentry world. And then, you know, the activism part, like a lot of people, I just felt like I had not done enough at the point that Trump was elected. Mm-hmm. And so I was already becoming sort of active in a variety of ways before Constitution came to me. But working on Constitution, and specifically Heidi talks about this idea of sort of accepting that people and events can be multiple things at once, sort of breaking the binary, like right and wrong, yes and no, that we're sort of used to sort of expecting from the world, and instead choosing, you know, that things can be multiple things at once. I feel like with a spirit that it infused the play in very practical ways, you know, as Heidi talks about whether or not she can forgive her grandmother, and what was her grandmother, a good person or a bad person, was her, you know, looking at the sort of the human connection and how to like make sense of who we all are. And I feel like the play allowed me to say, you know what? I think I am an activist theater maker. Now, that doesn't mean that like every play has to have an exact like front-footed political message first, but it does mean that like the way that I want to make structural change in the world, that is always going to be present in my interpretation of any play that I'm working on, even if there's no overt political message. And that may be an obvious thing to some artists at younger periods in their life, but I think I had never really come to terms with how to include those things all at the same time. So the play itself just sort of allowed these multiple parts of myself to come together as one. And then, of course, like working on the play, it gave me access to people who have been doing this work for so many years. I mean, Heidi talks about Jessica Gonzalez, who now goes by her original name, Lenahan, Jessica Lenahan. You know, she has been a fighter for rights, for, you know, for women's rights and children's rights, and rights for, you know, years. And, you know, the fact that I was put in proximity to these actual people doing this work, it actually just ended up this sort of massive inspiration for me.
Yeah, that had to be really informed the work that you know that you're doing, or that you did, and that you know consistently or will still do like moving forward.
Yeah.
So you know, so the play, you know, it was on Broadway or is on Broadway. It's a tour, a national tour now. You know, COVID pending. And, you know, at one point it was stationed in or set down in Washington, D.C. at the Kennedy Center. And you had a very special guest in attendance. Can you talk about your guest?
so the guest we're talking about is the headline is we all got to meet RBG, which is incredible. Now, the truth is, RBG actually came to see the show in New York, I actually couldn't be there. I was having I got married at that time, and I was having actually a second wedding for my mother, who couldn't come to the first wedding because of medical stuff she was going through. So I had to make this terrible decision, which was like, get married for a second time for my mom, or meet RBG. And I feel like I made the decision that RBG would have been proud of, which is, you know, do the thing that benefited my family and my mom. So I felt okay about that, but I, you know, what I heard about was when she came and saw the show, I mean, it was the biggest response, you know, and we had, you know, John Bon Jovi and Daniel Day-Lewis and, you know, I mean, we've had like massive, you know, superstars come see the show. I don't think there was any response bigger than when RBG was there. Now, what she did do was, she read the play as well. After seeing it, she asked to see, get a script. Heidi sent her the script, and I'm pretty sure Heidi sent, RBG sent Heidi some notes on the play, which I'll try and remember what they are. They're not coming to me right now, but they were very sort of, I think, you know, in her attempt to be as exact as possible, you know, there were certain, you know, a couple of things that we'd taken some, you know, a little bit of dramatic liberty in the phrasing that she, sure, you know, wanted to, like, get specific about. It's on the tip of my tongue, but maybe I'll remember. But she did invite us. I was sad I missed that, but she did invite us to her chambers in New York. And so when we went to the Kennedy Center to do the show there, the entire team there went to go visit RBG. She gave us a beautiful, like a speech and a talk in one of the press rooms. And she took us up to her offices, and they took us on a tour of the entire place there. And it was, it was incredible. It was, I will cherish it forever. I never before has a play given me such access to such incredible people.
And the recent passing is, it only makes it, you know, even more special.
Yeah.
In life.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that, yeah, it really doesn't get bigger than that, though.
No,
I mean,
no, it doesn't. Justice Sotomayor also came to see the show. I'm not sure if other justices. Those are the two that I can remember right now. She was amazing as well. Like really, really, of course, just, you know, one of the smartest people I've met, sort of like a real force, both generous and strong. Thursday Williams, I think, who is one of the debaters in the Broadway show. Mm-hmm. Thursday went to some sort of, it was like a Washington, D.C. event, like dinner. There was some sort of a dinner that she went to with Heidi. Heidi invited her to go. And Brett Kavanaugh was there. And Thursday went up to Brett Kavanaugh and said, I think you should come see my play. So that was, she was 17, I think, at the time, and was and is, you know, one of the most, you know, courageous and strong people I know.
Yeah. That's great. Well, Oliver, do you have any kind of a last minute, like kind of closing thoughts on it, on the play? Or?
No, just, I mean, I guess it has been so much, you know, that I think that play was sort of like the end of one phase of my life and the beginning of the next phase of my life. And of course, the fact that it came on the heels of COVID, I've had now like a year to think about like what the rest of my life is going to be and what my activism and art is going to be. And, you know, obviously I'm seeing this podcast is largely for people who have devoted their lives to the study. I'll say the biggest thing for me is feeling a sense of that I actually have a right to read these documents, to think about them, talk about them, and understand them, and that there are a lot of people, not all of them, but a lot of people who say they know what these things mean, who I think are not as smart as we think they are. I would say if there's anyone who's not a lawyer listening to this, I would just say the Supreme Court cases on OIA are way more interesting than you could imagine, and that you have every right to you know, get to the conversation and try and understand it. So,
yeah, that's a great way to end. Well, thank you again for coming on.
You got it.
It was wonderful to talk to you about it. And for those listening, if you're interested in the show, which I cannot recommend highly enough, the website is www.constitutionbroadway.com. And that has all of your ticket information and
And you can see it on Amazon, by the way.
That's Amazon, right.
Yeah, the Amazon filming of the Broadway show. Go watch it on Amazon, too.
Yeah, much easier in these times right now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I'll put a link up as well on our website. But, Oliver, thank you so much. It was really wonderful talking to you again. And, you know, wish you all the best.
Thanks so much. All right, Brandon.
Bye.